Hi there, welcome to the Keto Happiness Podcast. I'm Rob Saunders and we're recorded from the sunny heart of North Wales in the UK. I started my keto journey in March 2018. Had some great results for some challenges. You'll get to know me and a little bit more in these podcasts. Now, works for me, may not work for you. But if you are embarking on a new way of eating, a new diet, new fitness regime, or even any change at all, please consult your doctor or health practitioner. You can find Keto Happiness at ketohappiness.co.uk. We're available on all the streaming media, and we have social accounts on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. I hope you enjoy these podcasts as much as I do. And on with today's show. Hi, you're listening to Keto Happiness, and this is show 21. And returning, the well-known author Martina Shlaryova joined us in a moment to launch her new book, Keto Simple. Now, a little bit about the book and Martina. The best-selling keto diet author, Martina Shlaryova, gives 100 delicious recipes that are easy in preparation and technique, frugal in the number of required ingredients, and can be put together quickly. No stress, no complication, just a great keto meal from stove to table in minimal time. Keto's become the hottest health-supportive diet around. However, even the most committed keto follower doesn't always have the time and inclination to cook for 90 minutes or on the budget bandwidth for 14-ingredient dinners. With Keto Simple, you can live your keto lifestyle without it becoming expensive, complicated, or all-consuming. Along with simply amazing recipes, find meal prepping, planning, and shopping strategies that can save you time and money. Whether you're looking for a quick recipe to throw in your office lunchbox or how to build out leftovers and simple base recipes in tomorrow's menu, Keto Simple has it covered. And we're joined by Martina in just a second. And welcome back. And joining us today is Martina Shlaryova. Hi, Martina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem. And exciting news, we've got a new book that's been published.
Oh, yes. I've been, for the last year, I've been working on a new recipe book that is all about super simple keto recipes.
Because it was one of the most... It's something that I've been waiting for because I'm constantly looking at other people's books and especially... books from overseas, because we're obviously hitting the UK and Irish market, but a lot of the American books, some of the ingredients need to be translated because we call things differently over here, and also the types of things that you need to buy. But to have a recipe with some go-to basic ingredients, you probably just saved my life and a thousand others.
Oh, yeah. To be honest, I was thinking I've published many books, but there was this, I just felt like I needed to do something where I feel like these are the recipes I would actually make every single day, not fancy recipes that, you know, may be popular, but they're a little bit elaborate.
Sure.
But focusing purely on really simple, doable recipes that you can use on a diet if you want to follow it in the long term.
Brilliant. And as usual, is there sort of an introduction to the ketogenic diet at the beginning?
There is a short introduction. I actually have to check because I'm not complete. Yeah, there is. Brilliant. I just have it here.
Excellent. Yeah, because you know, some people would you may have, you know, hardened Ketonians, as we call them, me, but also people listening who are, you know, dipping their toe. They may have seen TV programs that explain the pros and cons of the way of eating that we're all used to now. But a little introduction and some hints and tips is always welcome in the Saunders household.
Yeah, I mean, this one has some brief intro about the ketogenic diet. It's not as in-depth as other books that sure. I have, like the Beginner's Keto Diet Cookbook. But this one is more focused on a simple keto. So how to do it in a simple way that is really easy, especially if you're new to it, or if you want to follow a low-carb ketogenic lifestyle in the long term and you really cannot do any complications.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. And I've got all your books now, and I do follow them, especially the One Pot one, because we're both out to work, and to do it, to prepare it in the morning, it's fabulous. Is there there's similar types of one pot dishes in the book?
Yes, there are. There is actually a chapter that is focused on one pot, one tray, everything thrown basically in one tray or one pot, fewer ingredients, shorter cooking time. There are some other recipes, and I also tried to do like single serve recipes, because many people that follow keto don't want to do large batches, or if they want to, they want them to be scalable. So they want to be able to do fewer servings or more servings, depending on how many people they cook for.
That's amazing, because in the in our household now, there's four of us. We've got myself and my wife, Sian, and my eldest son, Jack, and a younger son, Ted. Now, Ted doesn't want to know anything about healthy eating. He's 13. but Jack, which I might allude to in a minute, has just been diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which I know you did, looking at your biography. Now, he's on medication and things like that, but something that we did say is come, you know, eat what we eat, and it may help towards autoimmune, like Hashimoto's.
Yeah.
Now he's new, and it was a bit of a shock, and he's still getting through different symptoms of it. But I think historically, if you were to have some sort of hyperthyroidism, you'd tend to put on a lot of weight. But Jack has actually lost weight with it, which is which is amazing. I was going to ask you a few questions on his behalf before we get into the book again. When you sort of got diagnosed with it, you get lots of blood tests, and there's things. Did you have any other side effects? Now, Jack, the reason why I ask is Jack is getting a lot of pain in his hands, and we're getting some tests done, some scans. The specialist thinks it may be sort of a syndrome like carpal tunnel syndrome. We don't think so, but we just wondered if you experienced of any other sort of side effects to Hashimoto's apart from what you see in what you find on Google or textbook type of thing.
So definitely, before I was actually diagnosed with Hashimoto's, which can take years and years to diagnose, because the regular thyroid tests, they wouldn't check for any antibodies. And if you have an autoimmune disease like thyroid disease, Hashimoto's, they won't find it, because they will simply look at the levels of T4, TSH, and if that's normal, they would think that you're absolutely fine.
Sure.
The problem is that the thyroid, the damage to the thyroid can take years and years. Mm-hmm. So the time they actually find out you have Hashimoto's is when the thyroid is already damaged and it starts producing less hormones.
That's right.
So in my case, I simply I started having issues with I had sinusitis, and I started experiencing symptoms of candida. And as a matter of fact, these two actually are closely linked together, and they are common in people with Hashimoto's. So I went for some autoimmune tests. I was doing some allergy tests, and that's how they actually found that I had antibodies, and I started developing Hashimoto's. So it was more of a coincidence. Because they were testing something else and they found that I had this.
Oh, it's interesting you say about, because he's 18, but in his younger years he had, and he won't mind me speaking about this, had a condition called costochondritis, which was sort of build-up of fluid and inflammation between the rib cage, and that gave him a lot of pain. Seemed to got rid of the pain through physio and Pilates and things like that. So, but it was... It's interesting that, you know, this could have been a trigger that the thyroid, the autoimmune, could have started from there. But, we haven't got the tests to prove it. But interesting, you were saying that it could take years to find out, because the way the specialist explained is the pituitary gland is not really speaking to the thyroid gland.
Yeah.
And those that balance is not there. Now we've got it balanced. It's just the other symptoms, like the hand pain, which we're investigating now, which apparently is a symptom, but we'll probably go more holistically as well as medically.
I would definitely take both paths, because I don't think most people that have Hashimoto's, most of them won't be able to get off medication completely, because it's really difficult, if not impossible, to restore a damaged thyroid.
Sure.
But it still means you can stop the further damage.
Yeah.
And you can maintain the same level of medication. You don't have to up the dosage or anything. And that's where I am right now.
Oh, that's good.
I still take levothyroxine, but I managed to manage the symptoms.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that's the medical part of the show done. Now, back to the book, Martina. Sorry to digress. Now,
not at all.
Now, how is it set out? You mentioned that you've got one pot and go-to recipes. How is it actually set up when... so the listener, when they buy it, they will dive straight into it and be able to start their journey or continue their journey if it's me.
Yeah. So the way I've done it is that it's really simple. It has a brief overview for complete newbies. It has some links for further information. So if you're completely new to it, you may want to read more about it on my website.
Sure.
And there is I included a few of the tips I've learned over years on how to make keto simple and how to make it work in the long term, because you really don't want to think about your diet all the time and spend most of your time thinking about what to cook and how to count macros. So I tried to include all of those things that I've learned over years to make it really easy. And then the recipes, they are divided into categories. So you would have breakfasts, you would have the one-pot dinners, snacks, desserts. Everything is super simple.
Oh, brilliant. Because the main talking point in the Saunders household is what do we have for breakfast? We seem to be having the same type of thing. I have my bulletproof coffee followed by some yogurt, berries and nuts, and then at the weekends it's a typical British fry up. And
I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that.
But with we're quite blessed is that we can work from home, but our office is very close to us. But there will be listeners out there which rushing out to get to breakfast. They need to do a packed lunch, and then they're thinking, "Oh my goodness, I've got to prepare dinner for four people, and two of us are on keto." Is the Simply Keto book the ideal way of making everything simple?
Definitely. There is actually a chapter that is all about lunch boxes. So if you need to take food with you to work, there is a chapter that has quite a few recipes to give you a few ideas on what to take with you, what's actually easy to pack. And the dinner section, some of the recipes are made like a single serve meal,
yep.
But many of them can be scaled up, so you can really it's super flexible the way how you can do it. And usually you would have less than 10 ingredients per recipe, so most of them are really easy to put together.
And are they sort of, you've got some store cupboard ingredients and then the rest is sort of the fresh stuff?
So the ingredients are, I think most of them are really easy to get in a local grocery store.
Sure.
And many times you can use frozen ingredients. You don't always have to use fresh veggies.
Amazing.
And only the desserts chapter has ingredients you may have to get online, like sweeteners.
Oh, sure.
But I think that's about it, because if you look at the rest of the recipes, it's fair to say that they are easy to find.
Oh, that's brilliant, because I get, you know, my go-to sweetener is xylitol, but there's some recipes I've been reading that for monk fruit extract, which I've been finding hard to get, so I'm just using xylitol anyway, or ethanol. So that's good news.
You can actually swap them, and if anyone ever wants to swap any sweeteners, we actually have a chart on the website. So if a recipe uses erythritol or xylitol or monk fruit, there is a simple ratio you can follow to swap anything you want.
Oh,
you can even swap it for stevia. It really depends on the recipe.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, because I have the same issue when I may have run in out of almond flour and then realizing that I've got coconut flour in, but I shouldn't put as much coconut flour in as I would the almond meal, because otherwise it everything goes haywire.
it gets really dry, and it's crazy how little coconut flour you actually have to use if you replace it.
Yeah.
If you want to use it instead of almond flour,
mm-hmm.
because you only have to use something like a quarter to a third cup of coconut flour for every cup of almond flour, and you have to add one more egg, because otherwise the mixture is too dry and can be a little bit too dense.
Yeah, and it could taste not chalky, but have that texture as well when you you eat it. Yeah, I've been doing experiments for pizza bases with that and cheese and things like that. So, I was going to ask with things like lunch boxes, is there a recipe? Because what I missed when I sort of started keto about 2 years ago was bread. Now, is there sort of any sort of bread substitutes that you've got going on in the book?
So yeah, definitely. Because this is a simple keto book, I didn't include any of my I would call it like proper keto breads. They
sure.
require a little bit of work,
mm-hmm.
But they really taste like the real deal. You cannot almost tell the difference. The ones I included in this book are actually 5 minute, 10 minute keto breads.
Oh, wow.
That can be made in the oven or in a microwave oven. And to be honest, one in particular, the one that doesn't use eggs, is really probably the closest you can get to a really good bread.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Doesn't taste eggy. It's really nice. And you can make it in 3 minutes.
Oh, brilliant. Because that's the issue that somebody else also sent me their book, but they're based in the States, and we was experimenting over the weekend, and that even though we keep our eggs in at room temperature, there's still some sort of eggy taste to it. So when I get the book, I'm definitely going to experiment, especially if it's 3 minutes. That's like a breakfast muffin for me.
Yeah, it's really easy. I mean, I got used to it so much that I actually don't make my regular keto bread anymore, because I don't have much time recently. And it's the egg-free one that I usually go for, only because it tastes really close to kind of a rye bread.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
So,
that's made me think of smashed avocado and poached eggs now.
Oh yeah, that's the perfect combination.
Yeah, yeah. So also the last time we talked, we mentioned your other venture, which I think you've still got going, is the keto diet app. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, that's an ongoing project, and we have actually we have done some significant amount of work for the last I would say 6-8 months. Mm-hmm. We have been working on simplifying the app, so everything goes simple: the books, the app, everything goes simple.
Oh, that's brilliant! Yeah, for an idiot like me, you're an absolute godsend.
Thank you. So we have added a quick track tool, so it's really easy to find the tracking in the app. So if you want to use the app for tracking, counting your macros, we added a quick add tool, and we are now working on improving the food database even more. And we will be adding some advanced features for filtering. Mm-hmm. Recipe filtering, because what we realize is that right now we have a total of almost 1500 recipes in the app.
Goodness.
And we really have to add allergy filtering, because we've been getting these requests, and I think with this number of recipes, it's really, really mm-hmm. essential. So that's what we're working on now.
Oh, that's brilliant. Again, to have something, everybody's got a smartphone now, or access to the internet, to have something like this, because there are other apps available, but I found yours a bit easier to navigate with.
Thank you so much. It's it's probably the most challenging thing. The more you add, the more features you add in the app, the more cumbersome it becomes, because it's really, really easy to get to a point where you don't realize you've added way too many features and you made it way too complicated. So you have to find the right balance.
That's right. We found that our own. We, you know, the other day job is web design and graphic design, and we found that we used to be so much information heavy, or that clients could not get round websites, or they wanted as much information as they can and not to the point, and they had to go through X amount of clicks before they got to the right answer. Now, obviously, we're all learning every day, and to have something, you know, quite comprehensive again is a great advantage.
Yeah, that's It's the most challenging thing to do, to actually keep an app simple, because you always run the risk of making it too complicated with too many features.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. And have you got anything else on the horizon? You've got this book. Is there any other ideas that you're...
So there may be a book, but I cannot talk about it yet, because it's something that hasn't been approved yet. Okay. But if it goes through, I'll be working on a book with a few more people.
Oh, wow.
And when that happens, hopefully later this week, we should be able to know whether we will start working on the book.
Oh, that's great. Nice.
But speaking of books, there is another one that I've been working on and that will be published in June, and that's all about keto chaffles.
Oh, that is, since we last talked, the buzzword on social media and all other things is the chaffle recipe.
Oh, sorry, I think, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I.
Yeah, chaffles, wow, sweet, savoury, you know, you name it, I try to make it. Give us a sneak preview, because I'll tell you how I make them. Mm-hmm. I basically bung 4 eggs in a mixing jug, some almond flour, some cheese, a little bit of baking powder, mix it up and stick it in a waffle iron, and that's how I make them.
That sounds really nice. Yep. So do you use like a crumbled bacon, or
What we?
Oh, baking powder. Sorry, bacon. You said baking powder.
Yeah,
I thought
bacon.
It was
no, not bacon. We have bacon with them.
Yeah, that's really nice. It's more or less it's the same the way I do it. I just spent a lot of time fine tuning the amounts. So when I was working on this basic chaffle recipe, savory and sweet, I must have gone through something like 15 recipes before I actually found a texture I wanted. And the one thing that made a huge difference was that I thought, why not blend it? So I blended everything together in a small blender, and that produces the fluffiest, the closest kind of chaffle waffle you can get, because it doesn't taste eggy, it doesn't taste cheesy, there are no bits and pieces in there. So if you can do one thing, try blending the butter before you cook it in the waffle maker.
Oh, well, brilliant! Because you just thinking about it logically, you get air into the mixture.
And you don't really taste. If you use plain cheese like mozzarella, you won't really be able to taste the cheese unless you want to be able to taste it. But if you make something like sweet chaffles, you want to mask it as much as you can. And this is the best way. If you blend it, you won't have any bits of cheese in there, and it will really taste like a regular crispy waffle.
Oh,
and that's amazing.
That's amazing. I look forward to that one, because I'm thinking another favorite of mine is I've got Carrie Brown's ice cream making book, and I've been making keto ice cream. And to have that with say a chocolate chaffle.
Oh yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
With some sort of
try like a brownie chaffle with a scoop of ice cream. That's just amazing.
Amazing. You know what I have? Keto is not supposed to make you feel hungry, but I am salivating at the moment.
You know what? It can actually. I've seen that, and I've experienced that with sweet recipes.
Sure.
So I do generally, when people ask, I do generally recommend not to have too many sweets when they start following keto, or maybe completely avoid them for at least a couple of weeks, four weeks, because it really does make you crave more food. And you may end up eating more than you want.
I learned that the sort of the hard way, really, when I sort of was quite naive to the sort of the eating plan. I was thinking, I can eat as much fat as I want, I can make my, you know, sweet fat bombs and things, not realizing that when you get satiated, you're actually reducing your calorific intake. I was raising mine. Although I was eating the right stuff, I was getting into ketosis. I was plateauing a lot.
That's very common. And you know, there are many people who would tell you, oh, you can eat as much fat as you can because you will never put on weight, it's keto. And you know, no, it doesn't work like that. And if you think about it, the ketogenic diet has been used for treating epilepsy or managing epilepsy for such a long time. And these people don't want to lose weight in most cases. Actually, they need to gain weight.
Sure.
So if keto was to always make you lose weight, it could actually be deadly for some of these people. So it is all about how much you're eating and to stop eating when you don't feel hungry anymore.
That's right. And I think that I've learned my lesson with that, and get a lot of people asking me now, you know, how to start, and they've heard lots of things. Oh yeah, I can eat as much bacon and eggs as I want.
No.
Yeah, one it'll make you feel poorly, and the other, it's sort of, you know, the whole point of using fat for energy, it doesn't make it, it's there to stop you eating, really, to trigger trigger in your brain that you're full. And we have been starting to experiment with intermittent fasting after a year, and
I love it.
Is that something
doing
you do
every day?
Oh, right, okay. So you're
actually
go on.
I actually haven't eaten today, so I'm going to have my first meal after I think almost 24 hours. And to be honest, this is not intentional. I just make it work for me because sometimes I don't have time to cook, and
Sure.
if I'm not hungry, I just eat later. I would just have one meal or two meals a day. For people with Hashimoto's, I wouldn't necessarily recommend any kind of long-term fasting
Sure.
more than I wouldn't do a several day fast, for example.
Yeah. But the sort of the say 12 to 18 hours
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
brilliant, because it's, you know, if you integrate that in with your sleep patterns, it does work. You know, it's your sort of your sleep or your body's rhythm seems to adapt to that. But I would, I don't know you if you would recommend, but I would be in sort of the ketogenic state before I'd attempt any sort of fasting.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes. It's not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to do it, but I think it's the best way to do it because you don't really want to feel hungry. You want to get to a point where you naturally feel like, you know what, I can skip lunch or I can
Yeah.
skip breakfast, I can skip dinner because you just don't feel hungry.
Amazing, yeah.
And that's exactly what happens on a keto diet because you can stabilize your blood sugar levels and you won't feel hungry for a longer period of time.
Yeah, and it gives your body a rest from, you know, gives your digestive system a
Yeah.
rest. And reading into the science of it, it's renewing new cells and getting rid of the bad cells through various means of whatever wonderful things happen in our bodies. That I've been reading lately. I'm actually just started, although I've had it for ages, a book by Dr. Jason Fung.
Oh
On
yeah, that's.
fasting, and it's written with Jimmy Moore, actually one of our friends. And I'm just past the introduction, and now Jimmy is a massive biohacker. And I think when this book was written quite a few years ago, and he was doing the normal, 18 hours, and I wouldn't advise this, ladies and gentlemen, but he did a 21-day one.
Yeah, I have to say I don't think I could do that.
No.
I mean, I know there are a few people who can, and I just don't think I've ever done more than 48 hours.
Sure, I'm exactly the same. And if I was to do anything like that, I'd make sure I'd take medical advice as well, because obviously
Yeah, definitely.
Jimmy had Dr. Fung, you know, as and I think he uses Dr. Ken Berry as advisors. So, and he can track all his, you know, levels, his medicines, his blood sugars, his ketones, his cholesterol, by just calling on a lot of people. Now, people out there may be thinking, my goodness, how can you not eat for 21 days? And I say, don't do it unless you're a lab rat.
You have to be monitored, definitely.
Yeah, sure. So, now I know we talk about the recipes again. Can you give us a sneak preview of a typical recipe from the book?
So I think which one would be the best one to kind of, would you like something from breakfasts or
Yeah.
lunches, dinners?
Let's go for a sneaky breakfast recipe.
So there is one that is super simple, and it's basically eggs baked with spinach, chorizo, and feta, and some cherry tomatoes.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. You just have
Oh, wow.
it's baked in a small ramekin, so it's single serve,
Yeah.
and you can actually do just one serving, although you probably want to do a bit more because it's baked in the oven.
Yeah.
And then there are some one skillet meals that would include anything from from 5 to 10 ingredients, and that counts, that includes spices and herbs. So actually the main ingredients could be just 3, 4, 5.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing, because we've done something like that in the past, but had to bulk make them. And because you're doing it the other way, which I think is more logical, so you sort of, you go up instead of trying to work out how, you know, if it's four, if there's four yeah. of us, how do we work out a third if there's, you know, if the recipe says 8, you know, serves 8 or serves yeah, 6 yeah. things. By doing, you know, serves 1 and just doubling yeah. and then doubling again and just adding on those things.
It's definitely not all of them, but I think this book must have the most single-serve meals
yeah.
from all of my books. And all of them are scalable. So that's the perfect thing about it. If you need to cook for 4, it's really easy to just do 4 of them. But if you have a recipe that has 4 servings, it's a little bit more difficult to go down to 1, and sometimes sure. it's not possible. So
yeah.
I really try to keep it simple this way, because I know it's always easy to scale up.
Oh, that's brilliant, because, you know, there may be some listeners out there which, they're single, on the other, they, you know, they're in a household that they're the only people that are, you know, embarking on this way of eating. And, you know, you may get some like us, you know, 3 out of 4 of us are doing it. So as much
as... Actually, I think now I just realized there is one recipe when you asked about bread that yeah. I think you would love. And it's not bread. It's more like a bread twist. And it's in the snacks. And you literally need 4 ingredients, or to be precise, 5, if you also count the spices in there.
Yeah, sure.
But it's completely super simple.
Go on.
And it really works. It really does taste and look like bread twists.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I look forward to that. Now, I'm not going to ask you to give the recipe out, because I want people to go out and go onto amazon.co.uk or .com and order your book, Keto Simple, by Martina Shlaryova. But the other booksellers are available. But with the publishing world, they're sent out to everybody. So have a look, and hopefully, you know, we might see it. See, I've seen your books in various booksellers as well. You know, so people do get out of the internet world. They can go out, have a walk, and go to their local booksellers. And if they haven't got it, just ask. Can you order this for me, please? Yeah, and we're coming to the end of this podcast, and I want to thank Martina for coming on again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And come June, July, just send me all the details, and we'll really plug it, because we're launching the Keto Happiness website very soon, with all our websites, including the one you did in I think it was April, May of 2019 with us, so people can recap on your story.
That's perfect.
Yeah, and the Keto Happiness podcast is now on, I think, nearly every streaming service. You know, from Apple to Stitcher to Spotify and everything like that, with our new sort of hosting partners. And hopefully I may have a sponsor for the show very soon as well, which is keto-based.
It's always really difficult, isn't it, to run the business, because you have to find ways, and you have to find the right sponsors.
That's right, yes. Our last guest actually is a person that was called Errol Vaughan, and he's a local guy to where I live in North Wales, and he's set up a company called the Low Carb Food Company. And
I've heard about that one, I think.
Yeah, and he's invited me to a few networking events, which is great. They're currently setting up. They're doing some trials with baking and things like that, so they're looking at bringing out mail order bread as well as mail order meals.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and everything is keto friendly, and also because we're based in Wales, he's trying to get some Welsh farmers on board for the grass-fed, hill-farmed produce, and he's got a few backers that one of the major non-exec shareholder is a doctor. And we're going to meet people like the Public Health Collaboration. We're meeting in I think it's March. We're going to meet some other medics as well. So we'll keep you posted on the on the sponsorship, and try and get everybody to sing off the same hymn sheet.
We definitely need to make low carb and keto more common in the UK, because I think it's so popular in the US.
That's right.
And we really need to make sure that people know about it here. I think it's definitely getting better now, and I can see more and more people being interested.
I think so. What I mentioned to a few of the guests, especially even when Jimmy Moore was on the show, that a lot of big food are trying to muscle in by offering what they call a keto offering, but it's full of rubbish. Or it's processed. It may be sort of a low carb, but there's sneaky things that are in there, some odd sugars that they may be things. So
it's interesting because there are some sweeteners that are always that always seem to spike your blood sugar, and they are commonly used in low carb products. And then there are some that sometimes do raise your blood sugar, and sometimes they don't, depending on individuals. So I tried a sweetener with isomaltooligosaccharides, IMOs, and my partner tried it. And while my blood sugar really went up, his blood sugar there was a slight increase, but it wasn't that bad. So it's interesting to see how it affects different people, but I would definitely be careful with ingredients like that, because they do usually spike your blood sugar.
Definitely. And hopefully Errol and the guys would, I know they were bringing out, they're looking at alternative sweeteners to their breads, and because he was a type 2 diabetic person. Now he sort of reversed that, and a bit like you and me, that we're flying the flag for this way of eating. I digress again. I was just about to close the show then, but I get too excited. Right, you're listening to the Keto Happiness Podcast, and thank you ever so much, Martina, for coming on again.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, this show was recorded in January 2020. All the used T&Cs will now be, and disclaimers will now be on the website coming very soon. And we'll see you all next time on the Keto Happiness Podcast.